Welcome to Happy Hour with lawyer and TV personality Jonna Spilbor and author and inspirational speaker Carol Pesci. Happy Hour comes your way every Sunday morning at this time with life advice, real conversations, and awesome interviews with self-help heavy hitters, best-selling authors, celebrities, and more. Would you like to maybe live better, stress less, and laugh more? Then you've come to the right place. Good morning and welcome back to Happy Hour here on 92.9 WBPM with Jonna Spilbor, Carol Pesci, and myself. And we have another fantastic Sunday morning, right? Because everybody's in such good spirits.
Well, yeah, so this show really is about helping people live better.
Yep.
Happier.
Yep.
And it seems like there's a universal crank going on in this room.
Yeah, apparently we don't take our own advice.
On account of, right now, I think we all are feeling what menopause must feel like because it's 1,000 degrees in here.
Yes.
The heat is blasting.
Blasting.
And but it was freezing when we first walked in.
Yep. Yeah. It's like multiple personalities, the thermostat in this room. Always.
And I think there's also, you know what it is too? I think there's just, it's the stress of the holidays. Everything becomes a little more augmented when it comes to like being annoyed because you also have the annoyance of the holidays.
It's the season of joy.
Yes, it is the season of joy and giving. Yeah, whatever.
I normally get this cranky all year round.
Frankenberry was giving you an out.
Yeah.
I didn't take it.
I'd be a liar.
And instead your eyelids started fluttering and you started looking weird. I'm like this all year round, Steve.
Oh my God! So I did have a legitimate complaint that I wanted to complain about.
Legitimate,
as opposed to your illegitimate complaints in the past,
as opposed to my
Hang on, Frankenberry.
You know, well, who needs to record an opening?
We do have it right. I was actually going to work on one yesterday, and then my world just blew up, so I didn't get a chance to get to it.
Oh,
again.
But I'm sure it's not as bad as Jonna's.
Oh no. Never is.
Listen, this is serious stuff. Like I had a legit meltdown earlier this week.
Mm-hmm.
Wanna ask me why?
Because the heat was blasting in the studio?
Nope.
Okay.
Although I am gonna take my sweater off. So listen, you guys, and we are all guilty of this, whether you want to admit it or not. If you are listening to us right now and every person in this room has in front of them a smartphone. And earlier this week,
check.
Because, and listen, I don't care whether you're an employee, you own
you
a business.
Frank Barry? Listen.
I'm serious. Like, do we not or do we not rely on these stupid little smartphones, like, for basically everything that we do in life?
We do, but you sound like you're mad about it.
Because.
I'm going to guarantee you, by the way, that you rely on yours more than I do.
Maybe slightly, but. You rely on yours too. You must.
In some regards, I do. I mean, yes, I look for replies to texts, but I hardly ever check email on it. I don't have a calendar.
Okay, well, you aside. What happened earlier this week, my stupid smartphone died.
Wait. That's an oxymoron.
I know.
It's a stupid smartphone.
A stupid smartphone because it was dead.
Because it died. And just died. And this stupid smartphone isn't even that old. And it just happened to die. So I played with it. I'm like, oh, this is just, you know, it'll come back to life.
I have visions of you playing with your phone like you throwing against a wall. Saying, work.
Tried to fix it myself. I did a little of that. I did a little voodoo. I went online. I started to. And a few hours later, it occurred to me, this thing is not going to ever power up again. I plugged it in. I unplugged it. Put a computer. I did everything. So for half a day until I finally had to trot to the actual Apple store for help, I was literally, you guys, I couldn't do a thing. I couldn't check a text, make a call, take a picture, check my email. I couldn't adjust my adjustable bed. I could not.
You don't have a remote for that, like in the nightstand?
The remote is the battery's dead, and it's one of those weird little round batteries. I've never replaced it. Why replace it? I have a stupid smartphone. I could not see the inside of my refrigerator unless I physically went to the inside of my refrigerator opened the door.
You didn't walk into the kitchen? What a world of hell that was.
I could not check my raccoon camera. I could not call an Uber. I could not call a person. If I needed to call you or you, and how long have we known each other? Years and years. I have no freaking idea what your phone numbers are.
I don't know yours either.
I don't even know if you're an 845 area code. I don't know. You could be 914. I have no clue. And for a half a day, that was my life. No life.
Could you focus on other things?
No. How could I possibly? So I focused on how dependent I am on this stupid smartphone. So then I trek over to the Apple store because I'm going to get this resolved.
First you trotted, now you trekked?
Trekked.
Was it a trot or a trek?
It was a trek because I didn't
I'm
going to
guess
one that
it was a saunter.
I trotted and
it was
trekked.
Actually, when she got out of the car, it was a very quick stride because she was angry.
Yes. I actually had to take a cab because I couldn't call an Uber. The Apple store is in Manhattan.
God.
So.
Horror.
I can't
put a yellow cab.
She had to hold her arm up on the sidewalk.
It was yellow cabs are dirty.
This is getting better by the minute.
I get to the Apple store for an appointment. You got to make an appointment.
I know.
All right. Now, so I get
really?
There. Yep. You got to make an appointment. And so this nice young man named Ange with two tattoo sleeves, nice young man, and he really was. He says, okay, I'm going to take a look at your phone. One of three things is going to happen. Either we're going to replace it, we're going to fix it, or we're going to have to send it out for repair for five days.
Did you start sweating? Hyperventilating?
No. No, I didn't sweat because I said, Ange, I looked him right in his eyes. And I said, Ange, door number three ain't happening. You're not sending this little stupid smartphone anywhere because I am walking out of this.
No, it's not only stupid, it's little. Keep demeaning it.
I know. I am walking out of this Apple store with a working stupid smartphone. And he got me. And got me.
I'm sure he did.
Looking eye to eye, you guys right there.
Because here's something you're good at. Being very clear.
And I was.
I bet.
I was. So it gets a little better. So Ange is doing his thing with the phone, and he's trying to make small talk with me because he probably sees that I'm about to burst, having survived 8 hours without my
smartphone. I wonder, just pause for a second. I wonder if they give Apple techs crisis support training.
I bet you they do.
I bet you they do, too.
And this young man was employing that training on me. So he says, when you go to a dentist, Frankenberry, you've been there frequently. You go to a dentist and they're doing something painful, so they try to distract you with small talk.
Yeah.
You can't talk back, though. That's the one difficulty with the dentist.
That is a problem.
As an example, yes.
Or, you know, anywhere. Gynecologist. Proctologist.
Okay. So, what? All right, so first she's giving an example of somebody where you can't talk back. Then she gives an example of something I would have no idea about.
I said proctologist after gynecologist.
Great. So you went from gynecologist to proctologist.
And we're gonna
so you went from stirrups that I've never been in to me on my own.
Every man has been to a proctologist.
Too early. Too early.
All right.
So
anyway,
young Ange was trying to placate me and talk about something completely unrelated while he was working on my stupid smartphone. So here's what he decides to talk to me about. He's asking me blah, blah, you know, where do you live? What do you do? And I tell him and he says, oh, I would have pegged you for a person in the fashion industry. Now, I think he's about to really blow some sunshine up my butt, right?
I would think, that's where it's going.
Right? That's what I think. So he's like, somebody, you're so stylish. I would have thought you were a... Now I'm waiting for,
model.
Supermodel. Right? That's what I'm waiting for.
Yeah.
But poor little Ange says to me, I would have had you pegged for, a designer.
And only you would get insulted by that.
If you're going to blow smoke up my butt, please
be
blow
about
a lot of it.
And about how I look.
I mean, come on. I'm there. I have a smartphone all day.
Let me ask you a question. If somebody said to you that they would have pegged you for a person who designs, a designer, high-end clothes, people look good in their high-end clothes. He's obviously implying that you the way you look would fit in those clothes, you would look to me like you designed them.
Yep. But in John,
would you take that as an insult?
Never. But however, in Jonna's first world problems, it's a step down from being a model.
Yes.
True. Which is unacceptable.
Now, I thought you were going to say that maybe he thought that he looked at you and said, I thought you looked like a designer's assistant because you were so tied to your phone. So
I thought
you
looked like a bag lady.
No.
He was doing good, is my point. He was doing good because it took my mind off.
But you were in a fragile state.
I was very fragile.
Yeah, I understand.
I was very, and I thought he understood that. I really did.
You thought he understood that he should have gone straight to runway model.
To make me feel better about myself.
Can I tell you something? Like, I said it before as a joke, but I'll bet in all seriousness, there is not only an emotional, like a necessary attachment to your phone, there's an emotional attachment to it, and there are no joke, elements of addiction associated with having your phone. Like, for real, not picking, just being realistic.
Yeah, the emotional attachment comes from all the pictures
so
you've got.
So they seriously must train the Apple staff for that, because people got to be losing their stuff when their phone is not working.
So that's like the weirdest thing, because everybody in there, so when you go to this, when I went to my appointment, you sit at a big table. It's almost like a four-person communal table. And so everybody sitting with you has a problem with an Apple product, right? And then they have these people come over. So Ange didn't take care of the whole table. Ange was there to blow sunshine up my butt and only my butt. And then other Apple people went to the other people. And I was overhearing. So like while he was blowing smoke on my butt, I'm listening to the person across the way who was also having a problem with her iPhone. And her solution was they were going to have to send it out for 5 days. And she very calmly, very stoically said, oh, thank you so much. That's great. Thank you so much. And I'm sitting there going, that's not what you got to tell them that you need your phone now. They'll do something. You can't be without your phone for 5 days. But she was fine.
Were you like trying to give her hand signals and like...
I was just mortified. I was just mortified, grateful that it wasn't happening to me. She skipped out of the store, la, 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 like, ha, ha, I'm going to come back in 5 days. And Apple even said to her, we're going to keep it for 5 days. If you don't come and pick it up by day six, you ain't going to get to pick it up. Like, not only are we going to take it for 5 days, but you better hurry up and get it or it's going to be gone forever.
It is weird when it's not with you. Like, even when I go out to walk the dog and I have it on the charger, and I don't like to charge a little, unplug. I don't think that's good for the phone. So I'll leave it plugged in until it's fully charged. I'm like, I got to go outside and walk the dog. And I don't even like doing that without having my phone in my pocket.
See? Because it's a part of us. I'm going to share with you two.
And now it's freezing in the studio.
And only you two.
Update.
Yeah, right. Menopause studio. I'm going to share with you something that I've never shared with anybody before.
Okay, go.
When I...
Listening intently.
When I take out my garbage, I take my cell phone because I may need to call 911 in the 40 feet that I'm going to traipse from my front door to the end of my garbage.
I'm not at all surprised.
That thought has run through my
head. Yeah, I know.
I go to the grocery store and leave my phone home. I go places and leave my phone home.
Freak.
Are you insane? What if there's an emergency? Do you also wear dirty underwear? You dirty underwear when you...
Hey, Kmart is having a going out of business sale. I got plenty of brand spanking new underwear, thank you. But no, I don't... I've never... Look, I realize my phone is with me most of the time, but... There's also times like when I go to the grocery store and I realize I've forgotten my phone or I just didn't bring it with me because I didn't think about it. And I say, oh, that's kind of cool, actually. Nobody can call me. I'm okay with that.
Oh, my God.
Should we be weaning ourselves or is that just the nature of how things are?
No. What my whole point is we now... This has become a second brain. Just like you have an external hard drive in your computer. This is the way we are now, Carol. We can't wean ourselves off. There's no way. Imagine yourself 200 years ago. You'd wake up because of the sun. You'd go to sleep because the sun went down. You'd in the morning, half and half? Heck no. You milked a cow. Like, you couldn't. How did you get from place to place and communicate with your people?
But I guarantee you, whatever their second brain was comparable to this. They probably left themselves notes. They probably wrote the stories in a journal.
The second brain was their stars and the moon and the sun. That's how they figured stuff out.
But they also figured out a way to help themselves through the day. What is going to get me through the day that's going to keep me from having to think about all of it? What is my assistance? And my assistance is that, well, I can tell the time by looking at the sun. Yeah. I don't need anything else to do that. So we all have the same crutches throughout history. We all do things to be our second brain, and that's what this is now. It's just more complex, and it's just more addictive, I think, than the other stuff.
Than the stars and the moon.
Yes.
Well, then, in a previous life, when I was living on the prairie, I'm sure I died young from getting kicked in the head by a mule, because I just wouldn't be good at that.
Okay. So, all right. You're very charming this morning, by the way.
Yes, you are.
Oh, what a nice segu. Okay, so after this rant, we have a really special guest. I think this is going to be fascinating.
I'm excited to talk to him.
I also think if you have a man in your life or you are a man, stay tuned, because we are going to talk to AJ Harbinger, or it could be Harbinger. I think it's Harbinger. He is one of the creators of The Art of Charm. They have a podcast. They give classes. They're public speakers. And he is going to talk to us all about how to basically be charming. I'm calling it Charm School for Dudes, but he'll probably argue that it's not just for dudes. It's for all of us.
I think it's going to be fun. I'm looking forward to it.
So we're going to have a conversation with AJ Harbinger, creator of The Art of Charm, when we come back.
All right, that sounds good. AJ on the way. This is Jonna and Carol and myself, and you've got Happy Hour. Stick with us. It's 92.9 WBPM.
Sunday mornings with 92.9 WBPM means you'll laugh more and stress less. Now here's more Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol.
This is Happy Hour here with Jonna and Carol, and we have returned for segment number two, and apparently we're going to learn about how to be more charming. Is that correct?
Or well, I don't know if charm? It's possible for you.
No, I can't be. I mean, look at me.
I've reached my charm threshold, I'm for sure.
Oh.
But
yeah.
I think we're going to learn more than that, because we have with us AJ Harbinger. He's a co-creator of a fantabulous podcast called The Art of Charm. And I found him. You know how I stalk cool people. I found him because one of his...
Anybody who's connected to Bradley Cooper...
One way
by
or
six
another,
degrees of separation.
Yeah, you're going to get stalked by me. And I found him because one of his, I guess, monikers or phrases that he's coined is, your network is your net worth.
Oh, that's so
right?
True.
And I kind of fell in love with that, so I contacted AJ. So a little bit about him. AJ is one of the world's top relationship development experts. His company, which we're going to learn all about today, called The Art of Charm, is a leading training facility for top performers that want to overcome social anxiety. Who has that? Develop social capital and build relationships of the highest quality. His super popular podcast, as I mentioned, is called The Art of Charm. And with us on the line is AJ Harbinger. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
So, AJ, as you now know, I stalked you a little bit because I love the phrase, your net
don't
worth
be afraid.
Is your net worth. And why don't we begin at the beginning? Tell us a little bit about who you are and about how the Art of Charm podcast was born.
Yeah, I, growing up, was raised by a single dad, and I was studying cancer biology, working on a PhD, when I fell into a rut socially, and my confidence took a really bad hit. And I was struggling to build friends in graduate school and try to connect with more people, and my schoolwork took a dive, my confidence took a dive, and I was trying to figure out why people were not responding well to me. Up until that point, I thought I was a likable guy. When I started to dig into the science behind just that, likability, connection, communication, I realized that a lot of what I had learned from my dad growing up wasn't really relevant and impactful. And unfortunately, in the medical field, it is a very political field. It's all about who you know and being able to convince people that your ideas are right to get funding and to get published. And with that scientific dive into connection, I realized that, wow, everything I thought I knew about first impression and making friends was wrong. And the science shows that a lot of the things that we're taught growing up are not as impactful as we hope. And obviously the quality of our relationships plays a huge role in our mental and physical well-being. So I took a deep dive scientifically into, one, overcoming my own introversion and how to make a more compelling first impression and connect with more people. And I realized that a lot of us are struggling in these areas, especially with social media and technology moving to the forefront. We've become a lot better at communicating online and in messages, but when it comes to in-person communication, a lot of us struggle.
AJ, I have a question for you, and I agree with what you're saying, but I think there are two kinds of folks out there, right? There are people who have never, who have maybe always been, say, socially awkward, and then there are people like you who, you said something, you lost your confidence, just out of curiosity, because I think that can happen to a lot of people. Can you share with us, what was it that caused you to, did something happen? Did you have a breakup? Did you lose a job? Like, what happened that caused you to lose your confidence?
Yeah, when I got into graduate school, it was kind of on a lark. I was working hard on a project for my boss at the time. It was science-driven, and I was hoping to apply to medical school. And the project was something that I found really fascinating. It was my first time doing research. And when we went to publish this article that I've been working on, we got denied because another competing laboratory had very similar results. And it was really the first time in my life where I felt, wow, working hard wasn't going to get me the results I was looking for, right? My dad had raised me, blue collar, work hard, get great results. And this was really the first time that I realized, wow, okay, it's all about who you know. It's not just about working hard. And my boss at the time was like, hey, I think you did such a great job on this project. You really should apply to graduate school. Have you ever thought about a PhD? And I went back home, I talked to my father about it, and I was like, you know what, let me give this a try. So I applied to graduate school, I got into graduate school, and that was really the first time in my life where I was surrounded by a lot of people who were smarter than me, more driven than me, who had multiple papers published, and that's really when my confidence started to get shaken. I was struggling in the lab to get results, it was a lot of pressure to perform, I wasn't getting results, I wasn't relating to my lab mates, and I really got some negative feedback that I was arrogant and aloof, and I really didn't know where this was coming from, because I certainly did not feel that internally. Internally, I felt like an imposter. So I put my science hat on and said, okay, well, what's going on with me personally here? Why am I struggling with this when in high school I was fairly popular? I was not struggling to communicate with people. I did have a warm, friendly first impression. What happened? And in that scientific dive, I realized that a lot of what we believe about first impression, we put so much emphasis and energy on the words, the introduction, the elevator pitch, when in reality, a lot more of it relies on our body language and our ability to convey comfort around strangers. And for me, when I started to realize the science behind body language, not only was I working on changing my own, but I started to read other people's body language and see opportunities that I didn't know existed, especially socially.
I believe that so much.
That's really interesting, because I think, AJ, what you're describing can happen to a lot of people at different phases of their lives.
Yep, and absolutely.
When I was first in law school, I remember I used to have probably 95% of the people I met after we got to know each other would say to me, and this is almost like an exact quote, I was afraid to approach you because you look like a bitch. and like you were describing, I didn't feel, I think I'm one of the nicest people going, if I do say so myself.
Right.
And I didn't, like, why am I giving off this air? And in the beginning of law school, I wasn't that confident because it was a whole new experience. It was, you know, it's kind of hard.
Well, I think shyness can be misinterpreted. Yeah.
It can't, but I didn't think about it enough to dive into, like, why am I feeling like this? How come I'm not feeling super confident? So that was really good that you had the introspection to do that, AJ.
And the other thing, too, AJ, is the fact that it is very difficult when you walk into a new environment like that. And what you said earlier about, wow, holy cow, they're really smart here. When you suddenly are intimidated by everybody else and you have, it's like when I first went to college and I took my first English class, I thought I knew my stuff. When I got that D in my first semester of college, I realized, holy cow, I was not prepared for this at all. I mean, I changed. I did better after that. But yeah, when you suddenly walk into an environment where you think you're at the top of your game and you go, uh-oh, that makes it even tougher as well.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people, when they hear social anxiety, they think, oh, that means someone who just shuts down or maybe not have any friends or they're a little lonely. But in actuality, a lot of us face social anxiety in those exact moments where we're walking into a new intimidating room, when we have to share an elevator with our boss, when we have to nail that presentation for our coworkers and the promotion is riding on it. In these scenarios, when social anxiety creeps up, you know, a lot of us didn't get the tools to deal with that. I know in school, I wasn't taught, oh, how to socialize, how to make friends, how to have a great conversation with your boss. You either pick it up from your coworkers, your friends, your family members, and your classmates, or you're kind of left there to figure it out on your own. And that's really how the company and the podcast started. And over the last 10 years, we've been coaching men and women on social skills so that they can put their best foot forward, they could speak more impactfully, they can connect with more people, and ultimately what we found is that likability matters more than performance.
Wow.
And we've all been there.
Wow.
Where we've worked our tail off to get these results for our boss. We pulled all-nighters, we did everything we could, and yet when it comes time for performance review, our coworker who's more likable, who gets invited to the team softball outing, who goes to the happy hours, who maybe sleeps in and maybe doesn't show up on time, gets the promotion. And we talk about this layover effect, where if your boss doesn't feel comfortable surviving a layover at an airport with you, where he's stuck sitting next to you for 2 hours because the flight's delayed, he's not going to think of you come time for that promotion.
Oh, my God.
And, you know, it's funny the way you say that, too. It's, I mean, as a sports fan, I've always, you know, when I was listening yesterday on my way home to a radio station here, and when I think about Hall of Fame voting, and I always hear that argument that, well, you know what? He wasn't really a nice guy, and the press didn't really like him. And I say to myself, well, what does that matter? Have you seen the guy's career numbers? But you're absolutely right. I mean, there's some guys that don't get the votes because, you know what? They didn't talk to the press enough.
Absolutely. And that colors people's view of you. And in a professional setting, that's dollars and cents. That's a raise that you missed out on. That's a promotion that's going to further your career.
So, AJ, let me challenge you for a second, because I'm feeling you. I'm feeling you right now, and I get what you're saying. But how do you discern somebody who's likable versus somebody who's like a con man or a con girl, right? Like, you have to be able to at least back up your likability, no?
Right. So when we're looking at a promotion in a performance review setting, the first variable they're looking at is, how does this person fit in on the team? And can I count on them in crunch time? And in those moments, the team fit, the culture, carries the most weight. So if your performance is dismal and you don't do anything, well, of course you're not going to get the performance review of a lifetime. But if you're right on the cusp and you're more likable, you're going to get that promotion.
So you can make up for what you lack, say, in, I don't know, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, you still have to have a brain.
Just the abilities of your job.
Yeah. Okay. So you can, let's say you're not the best writer and you work for, I don't know, a magazine. You're not the best writer, you're a good writer, but if you're more likable, you could get the plum assignments. I guess that's one way to look at it.
Well, let's think about this, right?
Okay.
Your writer example, your coder, your engineer example, when you look at that, classically, we study, we go to school, we get the job, and we're doing that. We're writing, we're coding, we're engineering. Then all of a sudden, as our career starts to move forward, we're managing people who are now doing that.
Yep.
We are not being judged on our coding. We are being judged on our ability to motivate people, to work well together, to get the results for the company. So that's where a lot of us get tripped up. We put so much emphasis on, I got to be the best coder, I got to be the best engineer, I got to be the best lawyer. When in reality, as you move up to the partner level, we're talking about forging relationships with other companies, bringing in new business, managing teams. These are soft skills. These are not the hard skills that we went to graduate school for, that we went to law school for. So how do we work in that dynamic? And unfortunately, there aren't very many resources out there for those of us who, as I said, feel some social anxiety, who feel like maybe we are being left behind in the workforce. We're not getting invited to the holiday party. We're not going to happy hours after work because, oh, none of our coworkers thought to invite us.
This is brilliant, actually. I mean, really, seriously, the
I know,
more
I'm
you're
really
talking,
processing this,
the more
here.
I get it. Right. So
The Art of Charm, the podcast, the business, was born. How exactly then do you help people fix those issues and become more likable?
Unjerk themselves.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm glad you asked. And I went through this myself. So I was doing a lot of public speaking, especially in graduate school. When you start defending your work, you're getting in front of the room. You have to present to win over the audience. And I actually was videotaped doing my public speaking. And I thought, wow, you know, I've had so many hours in front of the room. I feel really comfortable. I'm there. I got to be pretty good. And then when I saw myself on video and the fidgeting with my hands, the way I was walking around stage, lacking confidence, I instantly, watching that video, was like, oh my God, I have so much room for improvement here. Well, we do that exact same thing with our clients. We set up scenarios in the classroom where we videotape you interacting with one another. And we see that nonverbal component of our communication that a lot of us aren't even privy to, right? Outside of your dad saying, hey, you slouch, your mom saying, hey, stop crossing your arms, most of us aren't getting feedback from our friends of, oh, yeah, you have, you know, resting bitch face. Oh, you seem really frowning when anyone's giving you information or sharing a great story or sharing some emotion with you. You lack expression in your face. All of these subtle cues that we're picking up on subconsciously, a lot of us don't realize what we're projecting outward. So we videotape our clients to start the week and end the week with a real emphasis on their body language. What are those key signals that everyone is looking for when it comes to likability, when it comes to connection? And then we also work on the nuts and bolts of conversation, how to take more interest in one another, how to be a better listener. One of the things in my research that shocked me was there's actually 5 levels to listening. Most of us are only really competent in 1 or 2 of those levels.
No.
So when you start to look at these things...
Wait, listen.
Right? A lot of us have that next thing queued up. Oh, AJ is going to say this, so now I can go here. And we're not actually listening. And oh, by the way, we have these devices in our pockets that are fighting for our attention. So, you know, we're wondering, what was that vibration? Was that my husband texting me? Oh, do I have to go pick up those groceries? And oh, you lost train of thought. You lost that conversation. So we really focus on the soft skills with a huge amount of emphasis on your nonverbal communication. So you can walk confidently in the room. You can make great eye contact with strangers. You can impress your boss with your open body language and posture and that listening component.
I think listening is so important. I think so many of us think that we need to go network and go impress people, that we need to like verbally vomit on them about all of our attributes or what we know or what we've done to try to impress people. And I think the fact of the matter is you will be more liked if you are more interested than trying to be interesting. If you were really trying to understand the other person you're talking to and pull questions and be interested in them, they're going to like you a whole lot more than if you're trying to impress them with who you are and what you've done.
And that's the best part. When we are curious, we can be ourselves. You know, we've all heard that old adage, just be yourself. AJ, just go out and be yourself. You know, and my dad would tell me that. Well, what does that mean? Oh, if I know that all I have to do is be a better listener, be more curious in conversation, ask more questions, and disclose a little bit about myself, but I don't have to have this crazy elevator pitch or just spout off all of my accomplishments, now I can stand out for the right reasons. I can become memorable simply because I was more engaged in the conversation than everyone else. And I know for a lot of listeners, they're like, oh, AJ, you live in LA. Now you have this network. I get it. Your network's your net worth, and people want to be part of your network. But, you know, I'm just getting started. How do I do that? How can I build this network? And I'll be honest, you know, I grew up in Detroit. I did not come from a wealthy family, as I said, a single father. The network that I built, in large part, I built because I focused on giving value. And there, when we think about value, it's not about a monetary thing. It's not about, okay, I got to do this service for someone. I got to make sure that I pay it forward. Value, all I mean is give them your attention, give them your appreciation, compliment them, celebrate them, let them know why you think they're awesome, and accept them, invite them places, invite them into your life. When you get really good at those 3 things, giving value instead of taking it from other people, taking the spotlight, taking the attention, taking the appreciation, well, people remember you. People want to spend more time with you. And if it's great on the social side of things, you're going to have better friendships. You're going to have better relationships. And if people want to spend more time with you at work, guess what? You're going to get that promotion.
So true.
I want to, can we just back up for a second, AJ, because I'm really, really curious.
Yeah.
Because she wasn't listening.
No. I'll tell you why I'm going to ask this, because when you were talking about listening, my brain harkened back to like a million bad dates that I've had over the course of my life. And all the bad dates I've ever had, it was some guy nonstop talking about himself until I just couldn't listen anymore because he was boring the crap out of me or something. But what are the five layers of listening? Because I think I'm a pretty good listener, but I guarantee you I'm missing a couple layers myself.
So the first layer is yourself. And we are very in tune at listening to ourselves. Oh, I'm feeling this. I'm thinking this. All of us are in our own head, even when we're trying to listen to other people. The second layer is the content. That's the data. AJ said Detroit. Oh, I've been to Detroit. Okay, I can orient myself based on what AJ said. A lot of us are good at getting the content. That's not the struggle. Where we start to struggle is the third, fourth, and fifth level. The third level is the context. So what's the emotion behind it? Where am I going with this story? The fourth layer is the unsaid. Think about all the things that I didn't choose to say in this interview. Think about the ways that I'm trying to present myself to the audience, right? There's a lot of said and there's a lot of unsaid. And then the last part of all of this is what's the overall meaning, right? What's the overall meaning behind what AJ is saying, what AJ is spouting here on the show? And for me, I just want people to know that you can learn these skills. People are not born charismatic. They pick it up in their early years, even into adulthood. And we help accelerate it for people who maybe didn't pick it up. Maybe you're an only child. Maybe you didn't get much socialization growing up. Maybe you really went through imposter syndrome like I did. You had some confidence. You lost it. How do you get it back? That's what we focus on at The Art of Charm. That's what our podcast is all about. And that's why I love working with amazing clients who realize that social skills are how they can gain that edge in a competitive workplace and really want to focus on getting better, being a more engaging listener, having a greater impact, and ultimately connecting with more people.
This could be the missing ingredient for intelligent, hardworking, capable people who've just not hit it the way they know that they could.
10, right.
And this could be that missing element that they're just not getting because they've done their homework. They know
they're
their
smart
craft.
Enough. They work hard enough.
Yeah.
They do all those things.
This is great. AJ, I have a question. Do you work with teens at all? Do you have teens, do you know, subscribing to your podcast? Because I believe that this would be hugely helpful to young people today. It's harder for them than us because their world is through their smartphone and their ability to make connections with people.
It's hard for adults too because we got to make the money.
Again, but like that's their complete world through that. So
yes,
do you work with teens?
We have digital courses online, and we have group coaching calls with teens in them. And then in person, if you want to work with me here in LA, we only work with young adults and adults.
Very good.
So,
good stuff.
Yeah, this is really fascinating. So, all right. So why don't you tell our listeners, please, AJ, how can they connect with you? How can they get your podcast? How can they coach with you? How do they get in touch with you?
Absolutely. It's theartofcharm.com is the website. We have a free social skills challenge where you can work on these skills and join a very vibrant Facebook group. That's theartofcharm.com/challenge. If you go into your favorite podcast player and search The Art of Charm, you'll find me and my co-host, Johnny. And we delve deeply into each of these topics on a monthly basis. We bring in other experts, and then we answer listeners' questions all around habit building, social skills, confidence, networking, and connection.
I love this. I'm on your website, and I just came across one of your blogs called How to Flirt with a Woman Without Being Sleazy, which I'm going to read as soon as we get on. I just think that's a great topic for a lot of guys to And especially in this day and age, in the whole Me Too thing, flirting without being sleazy is kind of important.
I think.
Yeah.
I would agree.
Anyway, AJ, this has been really
fun. Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you. And I'm glad we finally got you on.
Thank you for having me. Yeah.
All
And you survived the nor'easter, so that's good.
Actually, that wasn't us. Or are you talking about the nor'easter from a while ago?
Yeah, no, we had to cancel him when we had
that's right.
That one. My apologies.
That was great. That turned out to be, and we're used to it here in New York, but that turned out to be a crazy storm.
Yeah, and you know what, AJ? That one really broke out the stupid people. I mean, it really did. Like, you normally see a great deal of stupid people suddenly come out of the woodwork when it snows, but that one was like somebody shook a beehive.
This is not your most charming stuff.
We started the company in Manhattan, and a nor'easter drove us to L.A. So I totally understand those East Coast winter storms.
Yeah, AJ, we're slow learners. We just keep sitting here, throw them. Oh, this was great. Thank you. Come join me on the west side.
Yeah, that would be nice. I'd be okay with plenty of sunshine. Thanks again, AJ. We really appreciate it. All right, this is Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol, and we will be back. We still got one more segment to go this morning, so hang with us. This is 92.9 WBPM.
Live better, laugh harder, love more. This is Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol on 92.9 WBPM.
And we're back again here with Happy Hour on 92.9 WBPM with Jonna and Carol. Hello, ladies.
Hello, Frank and Barry.
Well, AJ was very, very interesting, and I really, you know, there were some things that he brought up that I had not thought of before when, you know, the five levels of listening, you know, how important, you know, this art of charm is, especially when it comes to, and I'm sure some people out there, you may have heard it and said to yourselves, holy cow, maybe that's why, you know, when it comes to the more likable person who is just, say, at the mediocre level when it comes to the skills of the job, but if they are more likable, how many times have you been frustrated where you say, why does Bob keep getting more than I do?
And you dub them as the brown noser, but the fact of the matter is,
true.
It kind of is true, and it's an element of human nature. You're not going to fight that law, I guess, if you will, that if someone is more likable, you're going to get further.
Right, and what's great about AJ is he's just helping you to gain a little bit of that. You know, to try to learn how to do a little bit of that while keeping your superior skills, because that is what will get you noticed.
You need both.
Yeah.
I think the likability will only take you so far. You can't be horrible at your job and
be really fun and walk the walk.
Right. So there needs to be a minimum level of competence. But if you're looking for that missing link of why you're not getting further, and whether it's in your own business or whether you work for somebody else, turn on the charm.
It's a brilliant concept, and it makes so much sense. If you have ever said to yourself, like people who are you know, employees, right? If you ever said, why is Bob getting that promotion? Why did I get passed up for that promotion when you think you're as skilled, if not even more skilled than the person sitting next to you who gets it, right? Maybe this, like you said, is the thing that you're missing. Although, and I do think, and I'm sure that if anybody trained with AJ, you know, because there is a point where you can, quote, brown nose, right, which you're trying to, let's say that's trying to increase your likability. And you can actually take that a little too far where you end up turning off. Like he gave
it
that.
It needs to be sincere.
Yeah, it needs to be real, because he gave that example of if your boss doesn't want to be on a layover with you, then, you know, and that doesn't necessarily mean that you're just devoid of emotion or you're boring and you don't talk. Your boss might not want to be on a layover with you because you've shoved your nose too far up his or her butt, right? And that makes them uncomfortable too. So you have to be able to get right down the middle with this stuff, I think, in order to be the most effective.
I think he's on to something good here.
Well, he's been doing it for 10 years, he said, so and he's, you know, been pretty successful at it. So, you know, a lot of people obviously have taken advantage of it, so I think that's great.
And honestly, what a cool guest he was, too. I said that on break, that it makes it that much more fun for us. We want people to have good content, right? We're here to offer people insight. Maybe it's that one little nugget that's going to help them feel better about who they are, make better choices.
Live a better life.
Anything that improves their lives. So it does begin with the content. But we've also had guests that are brilliant and that are, like, just not engaging and not fun. And he had the whole package.
Do you think we've had boring guests?
Yeah. Not that many. And not in a while.
Not really. No, remember? Oh, wait. Let's Let's gossip about one guest.
I don't remember her name. It was a long time ago.
I do remember her name. Wait.
I
won't say it. Okay. So a long time ago, speaking of the art of not having charm, we had to get Frankenberry. Remember this?
Well, this was this the drunk woman in her hotel room?
No. You liked her.
You liked
That's
her.
Because he was convinced she was doing the show naked.
Yes. And not alone.
I'm talking, and I can't remember now, guys, you're going to have to help me, if this is one and the same guest. I might be thinking of two separate guests, but remember we had the guest that
belched? Yeah. No, it was, yes, I and do that, remember that.
Is she the same guest that corrected us on her name?
Yes. She called us from Miami, and she was loaded too.
Yes, and she was loaded too. Miami. And remember, we looked at each other and we were like, we will never have this woman back. Ever.
And then we had another one that just had no energy or passion. But so honestly, for the most part, we've had amazing guests. But he was up there. And I know he's probably listening right now. All right, come on, bring it back around to me. But no, he had great content. I think it's really powerful and helpful no matter what stage your life is in or what you do. And he was just cool and fun and engaging and helpful.
He walked the walk of what he
sure
does.
Did.
He was likable.
Because think about it like this, though. Just everyday life, you can have something that sort of knocks you off your game. I've had that happen to me plenty of times. And you take it upon yourself to get yourself back on your game without really figuring out what you need to do that. You just sort of fumble your way and figure it out. And that probably takes a heck of a lot longer than if you kind of had a game plan for when I get knocked off my game, this is what I need to do immediately to make me feel better, and this is what I can do long term. I have been listening to his podcast. He's got a partner who reminds me of a rock singer with a gravelly voice whose name is escaping me at the moment. But if you listen to him, you'll know. And they're very cool. Like it's like us. They're the male version of us.
Oh, see that?
Very conversational and fun and edgy.
Yeah, smart, successful.
They're the
likable,
the male all that. West Coast version.
I wonder if they curse on their podcast.
No, not really. No,
I bet you they do. If we took AJ out for a drink, if he comes back to Manhattan again,
oh, we'd get
New
him
York.
To drop a few F bombs. I'm sure.
Yeah, I think so. Right? And you know what? I'd like him even more.
Yeah, me too. drunk cursing AJ. That's our goal when they come to visit.
All right, we'll see. Frankenberry,
that's a plan.
You got a something.
We've got lofty goals, Frankenberry.
Hey, lofty goals are important. That's what keeps us
and
going.
You know, they say people who curse are more intelligent, right?
That's like, right.
I've seen a few studies come out.
Yeah. That's why we're our brilliant
little group here. There's so much brilliance in this room now.
Gosh, if only we could curse on the air.
Life
would be so good.
God, you guys and the wanting to curse on the air.
Anywho, all right. I think that's a wrap. Well, speaking of wrap, are you guys all done with your Christmas?
Come on. You've seen my paycheck. I don't have a Christmas. I don't do Christmas.
Christmas is in your heart,
Frankenberry. I'm just going to make sure that the nephews get something and I'm able to swing something for my my brother and sister and my mom. Other than that, that's pretty much all I got.
And the kiddies.
Oh, well, the kiddies. Christmas is every day when you crumple a ball of paper. So, I mean, that's all you need. You don't need to be spending any money on cat toys.
You know,
the ring from a Gatorade bottle, top of a Gatorade bottle? That's magic.
Really?
Absolute magic for a cat.
Yeah, don't spend money on cat toys. Use stuff like that. Yeah.
That's all. My foot in a sock for a kitten? That's all you need.
I think you just wrote your book.
I just wrote my book.
Kitten hacks. How to spend zero money on cat toys and have healthy, well-adjusted cats.
Exactly. No. That subhead is way too long.
Oh, way too long for him.
Never
right.
Go for it.
I need
cat hacks.
There you go. Cat hacks. Boom. Done.
Yep. All right.
Maybe I'll add the boom. Done.
No. Or if
cat hacks.
It.
Boom. Done.
That's it. Your subhead is that's it.
That's it.
I'm getting out of this menopausal.
I've had enough of you too.
All right. Well, this has been Happy Hour here on 92.9 WBPM with Jonna and Carol and myself. We do it every week here at this time, 8 a.m. You make sure you tune in with us again next Sunday when we will have another guest that I'm sure you are going to learn as much from as you did from AJ. So thanks again for listening. We'll be back again next Sunday, and you all have a great week.
You've been listening to Happy Hour with Jonna Spilbore and Carol Pesci. If you missed last weekend's show or want to hear it again, visit the Happy Hour page at 92.9WBPM.com. There's more life advice, real conversation, and another awesome interview next Sunday morning at 8 a.m. Live better, stress less, and laugh more with Happy Hour on 92.9 WBPM.